It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us on Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. On AZ Central Sports, going to be partnered with the Arizona Republic on White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona. And, of course, you can check me out. Follow me over on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Tony La Russa, obviously the big topic of the day in Arizona sports, without question. I was flat out stunned. I was at a funeral in Tucson on Saturday morning. I get an email and a couple of text messages on La Russa, and then I see what happened. And wow, just quite a weekend with what the Diamondbacks pulled off and accomplished, in my opinion. Ken Kendrick will be joining me in about 15 minutes because I want more to this story than just, hey, it's all great that Tony La Russa is here. Are the Diamondbacks becoming the St. Louis Cardinals West? Is Dave McKay somebody that I have to look at if there's going to be a change at the managerial spot? Of course I do. Dave Duncan just absolutely destroyed Kevin Towers, in my opinion, yesterday on the MLB Network. I'll have some of that for you, some of my thoughts on that front here in a couple of minutes. So there's quite a bit around this story. We haven't had a bombshell like this in a long, long time. For those that felt like baseball season was coming to an end in a hurry in mid-May, and that would be most everybody here in Arizona, suddenly there's now life. Suddenly there's now interest and intrigue. But really, is this season lost? If I were to tell you in the last 28 games, the Diamondbacks were 14-14. They are. So they played better. Some of their players have gotten healthy. But is it really too late now for Kevin Towers and Kirk Gibson? Everybody's assuming that the shoe is going to drop and one or both are going to be whacked away before time is done here this season. We'll see. For two games, it was pretty interesting to see how they beat around on the Dodgers. The Dodgers aren't very good this year. They've been good against the Diamondbacks. As I told you on Friday's show, the easy narrative is the Diamondbacks lost two of three or were swept by the Dodgers. If you were the one that said, hey, look, Brad, by Monday, it will be Tony La Russa leading off your show and the Diamondbacks taking two of three from the Dodgers, then you're the one. The only one that would probably have that would be Derek Hall and Ken Kendrick, and that would probably be about it. Really interesting weekend. Paula Bovin will be with us. News and notes, AZ Central sports columnist, my friend. Kevin Love's name is back in the news. Kevin Love, who I sat behind this microphone last December and January, when everybody else wanted Paul Gasol, I wanted Kevin Love. I don't want to aim for a guy towards the end. I want a guy that's in the middle. Well, now Kevin Love's name back in square center, that he's not going to re-sign in Minnesota. That's not a surprise. And that the Bulls are a team of interest to him. And that Golden State's a team of interest in him. And where are the Suns at in all this? I've got some thoughts on that as the show moves on today. As always, you can hit me up on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Eric Sorensen is with us today. He is with us in mind, body, I don't know about spirit. He was in Vegas over the weekend for his bachelor party. It's good to see you back in one piece.
It's great to be back.
Yeah.
It's great to be back.
All right.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Yep.
We'll have stories before the show is done.
I'm sure we will.
They'll be very short. Just know that they're coming. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Memorial Day weekend is coming up this week. What are your plans? Why not head up to Pine Top, head up to Sholo, get out of the heat in the valley, pull on down on the slots, have some great winning, some fun, do some fishing, do some hiking, get around, and then stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. Great food, great entertainment, too. They'll have great entertainment this weekend for you. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Diamondbacks managing general partner Ken Kendrick here in about 10 minutes. So, Chief Baseball Officer, that's Tony La Russa's title. How has this worked in other organizations? The only organization that I can even look at remotely coming close on this note would be Theo Epstein with the Chicago Cubs. Last time I checked, the Cubs have a worse record than the Diamondbacks. So that's humanly possible. I'm not saying this is a bad move. This obviously is a brilliant move. It's a strange move on some front. If it's meant to be earth-shattering, that's been accomplished. I guess I now know where the Tanaka signing bonus is ended up. I don't know if it's going to be what the number is. I don't really care what the number is for a 69-year-old Hall of Famer to be. All I know is three World Series rings and four Manager of the Year awards. What I do find interesting about all of this is the timing of it. They had to do something. How far back, when did the wheels start rolling? I have to believe that if everybody's being up front here, that this had to have been something that started a year ago. And not just Tony La Russa. I mean, his name was out there for the Seattle Mariners front office back in January. So maybe it was sending signals out. Maybe at some of these owner meetings, Derek Hall, or maybe it was Ken Kendrick directly. All I know is Tony La Russa is now part of the Diamondbacks organization, which is great. Is the team going to play harder? Is the team going to play smarter? You can get all the players you want, but if they're not smart and they don't play hard and they have their agendas and they don't really want to be here and they're not all in, how's this thing going to end? Here's Tony La Russa on why he got back into the baseball front office of a major league team.
Wanted to get back in the action. I said it from the beginning. I think you probably read that, you know, I never have missed the managing. I missed the winning and losing, and I've always enjoyed responsibility, and all of a sudden you have this opportunity. It's a outstanding organization.
Outstanding in the way of a commitment by the owner to get the checkbook and open it up and to give the conditions. It's not just writing a check on Ken Kendrick's part. But in Tony La Russa, it starts with the evaluation process.
The process is going to be really get to know the people here, build the relationships, see what's being taught, and see if you think that there's something better. I think there are lessons that I was taught over the years that give you an edge in the competition, anxious to pass them along.
Here is team president Derek Hall on this move with Tony La Russa.
You look at Tony's credentials, of course, and then you look at the loyalty, in my opinion, every step along the way. When, you know, he managed, you look at the players that played for him, you look at the owners that he managed for, the coaches that were under him, every one of those whose lives he touched, they're loyal to him. And that says a lot about him as well.
So that all sounds well and good in the press conference. To win a press conference where Tony La Russa is hired, you really have to screw that one up. When we say win the press conference, that means it's an old PR term that you got to walk in there, own the press conference, get your message out. Get it out to the media. Make sure your media friends take care of you. Make sure your media foes understand what direction you're going to go. And the Diamondbacks obviously did that. I haven't seen anybody step forward and say, boy, was this a bad idea. But I do think it's very interesting right now because we're all assuming Kevin Towers is a dead man walking, where I think most of us are assuming that Gibby's going to get blown out as well. Dave Duncan, when they brought Dave Duncan in this past offseason, I thought that was a really smart move. He was hired back in November. And Dave Duncan, great credentials, needed to get away from the game on a personal level. They brought in Dave McKay. Dave McKay, very smart move. Dave McKay, good baseball guy, over at first base now coaching the Diamondbacks. Dave McKay tied to Tony La Russa. Dave Duncan, though, went on MLB Network Radio yesterday morning. And he said, quote, I think, in talking about the Diamondbacks pitching, and you've got to listen to this closely and just understand the context of this. So he was asked, the organization stood on the pitching front. Quote Dave Duncan, I think there's a difference between a pitcher that can pitch in the big leagues and a pitcher that can pitch on a championship team, Duncan said. I think we have pitchers that can pitch in the big leagues, but we need some top-of-the-rotation type starters, some real anchors for our starting staff. Okay, that makes sense. That's why they went after Tanaka. That's not earth-shattering here, but I agree with them. They have just too many third, fourth, fifth guys. But continuing here, and listen to this. Quote, I'm in Mobile, Alabama right now watching the AA club play, and this club is leading this division by 4 games, I think. And I'm trying to evaluate what they have down here, and so far I haven't been overly impressed. End quote. So he's down on the farm and yeah, they're leading and that sounds well and good. And he doesn't feel as though this quote about, I think we have pitchers that can pitch in the big leagues, but we need top of the rotation type starters, some real anchors of our starting staff. Now take that over to Kevin Towers. Has Kevin Towers gone out and built a pitching staff? Is that Dave Duncan saying, it's great we have some arms here. It's great we're winning some games. I think the Diamondbacks have one of the best farm team records from top to bottom. I've read that here in the last week, that their farm clubs are all performing very well. That's fine winning minor league games, but when you're in the business of trying to compete on the big boy level and you just keep bringing up guys, and you trade away a guy like Tyler Skaggs, who's now doing well for Jerry Dipoto over on the West Coast. Ian Kennedy's pitching pretty well over in San Diego. I could go through some of the other moves. Everybody wants to go back on the Max Scherzer move. Look, the whole organization, if you were to grade the Upton deal today, you'd have to say that the Upton deal, Randall Delgado's come over here and hasn't been anything great. I don't think Martin Prado wants to be in Arizona. I think Martin Prado wants to be closer to the Caribbean. I could be wrong on that. That's just what I'm hearing. Never had him tell me that directly to my face. So as you go through the moves, and now you have La Russa here, how long do you wait? Do you wait a month? Do you give this team a month to get back into it? Do you think you're completely out of it for 2014? Are they suddenly going to play good defense? Because they've been awful defensively. I mean, just awful. And just brutal running the bases. They've not been a smart baseball team. So what kind of impact is he going to have? Is it a matter of they've gotten healthier? So I all these questions I want to run by Ken Kendrick, but it's a very good day in Arizona because the baseball team is going to be more than interesting, in my opinion, now for the rest of this year. It's not as simple as, well, let's just get to Cardinals camp because there's nothing else going on. That's a lazy narrative here in Arizona. And I hear that from some of my media brethren. Well, there's nothing happening. Yeah, you got to work at it a little bit. And now you get to go to the ballpark or follow what the team is going to be doing. They're on the road at St. Louis tomorrow. The Kevin Love story is back center to me. So Kevin Love, reports are Golden State and Chicago are interested in Kevin Love. Love doesn't want to resign in Minnesota. The trade deadline is next February. The longer the T-Wolves wait, and the Suns are sitting here with all these draft picks. This will be a very interesting week for the Suns. The NBA draft lottery is tomorrow. Suns have all these picks. I think there's some player personnel things that will be interesting. Archie Goodwin getting in trouble last week down in Arkansas. Is there more to that story? Is this a simple, oh, he's going to get it figured out? Or is it one of these guys you look at on your roster top to bottom? The one knock I'd say right now on the Ryan McDonough first draft and Jeff Hornacek draft is everybody can say, well, Alex Len's going to get it turned around and he'll play better this year. And he may. I'm fine going through that. I don't know that as fact. And anybody says, oh, yeah, he's going to turn out to be a 2010 guy. I don't know that. Kevin Love is sitting out there, and that's a 2010 guy right now today. So we'll talk more about that. I hate having to talk about the Indiana Pacers. I really do, because I just can't stand watching them play, but they did beat Miami yesterday. Ryan Williams, got to get into him going to the Dallas Cowboys, leaving the Cardinals. Not good enough for Arizona, but good enough for Dallas. There's two ways to look at that. And you Cowboy fans know where I'm going on that one. And Lou Holtz retired today. Much more on my mind as we continue on. Ken Kendrick, though, on the other side. Managing General Partner, Arizona Diamondbacks, on Tony La Russa. I'm Brad Susmat, Sports360AZ.com.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports, good to partner with the Arizona Republic as they carry the show as well. White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona as we're coming up on year number three of being involved in this project. Appreciate you joining us. Ken Kendrick joins us now for a couple of minutes. Managing General Partner, Arizona Diamondbacks. On Friday afternoon, if I would have said to Mr. Kendrick, you're going to take two of three from the Dodgers, you would have been pleased with that. And if I would have said, hey, Ken, you're going to hire Tony La Russa, how far back did you know you were going to be bringing Tony La Russa here?
Well, we've been talking for, you know, for quite some time. We had to sort of time, the announcement, built around some other, things that, he was involved in particular, his responsibilities at Major League Baseball. Tony really evolved to be the man behind the instant replay. Mm-hmm. We were building up to meetings this past week in New York where he was making a full presentation to all the owners. And, you know, both he and Derek and I felt that that was appropriate for him to do before, you know, he would leave MLB and join us. And then he was receiving an honorary degree and speaking at a commencement at the Washington University in St. Louis. So, you know, some things slowed us down in getting the announcement made, which we were able to do on Saturday.
And you didn't want to take away from Randy Johnson's day either.
Of course you wouldn't make an announcement on a day where you're honoring Randy.
I mean, right.
Icon of our team and hope to be our first Diamondback player who makes the Hall of Fame. So,
How far back do you know Tony La Russa, Ken? When did you first
meet
him?
Well, I've known Tony for some time, and I really got to know him better. I mean, you know him, you know, in looking at him over in the other dugout going back to, you know, a lot of years ago. And, in fact, he told some great stories about going back to the 01 season when we played them in the playoffs in a classic five-game series before we went on to win the World Championship. So, you know, I didn't really know him. You know, you can say hello and, you know, those kind of exchange of pleasantries. But for the last couple, 2.5 years, he's been very active with MLB. So in that role, we have gotten to know one another and, you know, had the occasion to observe him, you know, very, very close as this instant replay activity unfolded.
But what I'm wondering is, when did it cross your mind? Was this Derek coming to you, or you saying to Derek, or the two of you over dinner one night saying, this just isn't going, we don't have enough eyeballs as it sits right now? I just want to know, when was that moment?
Well,
when
I don't
said,
know that there was a aha moment. You know, these things, Derek and I are, you know, very much engaged with one another on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I for some time have thought that, you know, having a very senior person with extraordinary baseball abilities to play a role on a more global basis than the way that we and most clubs have operated made sense, and a few other clubs have done this. You know, we're not unique in what we're doing. You know, with Tony.
Yeah, Theo Epstein in Chicago.
So it evolved, and then, you know, as the season unfolded. And things weren't going the way that we had hoped they would, you know, we began to feel like, you know, we needed to make some decisions and you know, add to the talent. And that's what Tony really, you know, is. He's an addition to the talent we have.
It's similar to when Roland Heeman was brought in when the organization first started, in my view. Not exactly the same, but somebody who knows the game inside and out.
Yeah,
do you agree with that?
Roland's position with all the respect in the world to him, and we just came out of a meeting where Roland talked about, you know, the history of him hiring Tony to be his manager.
Right.
Back many years ago when Roland was general manager, and having them both in the organization is great. But Roland's position, you know, is really an advisor position, and Tony's is a line authority, you know, make decisions role. So their roles are quite different.
Yeah, and today, but even years ago when Roland was first here. I guess I'm just looking there's a little bit of similarity.
I think Roland's position in his history with the Diamondbacks has always been that of an advisor.
Okay. Fair enough. Ken Kendrick with us for a couple of minutes with Brad Sussmat on the Tony La Russa hire. What struck you most about what was being said on this hire on Saturday? Because the natural progression was, well, that must mean the end of Kevin. It must mean the end of Gibby. And that's what I got all over the place. How about you?
Well, not to be disrespectful, you know, it's not really of great concern what others are saying. You know, my concern is, in my role, in my job, is trying to do the things that we think are appropriate to improve our baseball team. And so others certainly are going to have and should have, you know, an opinion and a reaction. But, you know, we're not motivated by third-party opinion. I think if you let that happen to mm-hmm. you when you're in a position of leadership and, you know, therefore you're going to end up maybe pandering to others, your decisions end up never being as good as they could be if you were just doing, you know, the things that is, you know, is a part of your job. And that's really looking and trying to be honest at, you know, what's happening in the organization and where you have weaknesses and what can you do to make the team better.
You have Dave McKay at first base. You have mm-hmm. Dave Duncan within your organization.
Yes.
Is it over the top for me to say, are you trying to be St. Louis West?
No, I mean, we have great respect for, you know, for what that organization has been and what they've done. And certainly you look at other teams, and they're not the only one who has had a really wonderful track record, and the way they, you know, the way they've developed players, the way they play the game. But we aren't trying to say, well, let's us try to be St. Louis Cardinals West. I don't think that's at all our view. You know, we looked at each of these folks as individuals with talents, you know, who in each case were available for a variety of circumstances and felt McKay could add, Dave Duncan could add, and obviously we felt Tony could add significantly. And and we hope he will.
I'm curious, and these are all questions I've been getting from fans here in the last 48 okay. hours, but you take two over the weekend from the Dodgers.
Yeah. Finally.
Yeah, I know, right? Him coming in, is it one of those things where it's a jump start for an organization that was just flat?
Well, it's obvious that we've announced his hiring, and we've won two games. That's factual. I'm not so sure that those two tie together. I think you all when someone new comes in and someone with his great credentials, I mean, I think the players would pause and reflect, and all of the rest of us, and say, okay, there's going to be a new set of eyes observing us, and someone who knows and understands. You'd think the players would recognize every single person in our baseball organization mm-hmm. is being evaluated. And if you're the kind of person we want to have around here, you would react well to a person of his stature evaluating, and you want to show your best.
The bringing Tony here, have you had anything in the last 48 hours in the way of conversation with Kevin or Gibby about this?
Oh, of course. And in fact, it's important that I would say, and I know Derek has probably said this in other settings, but we've been very open in our communication with the both of them over the last month or so, and they both knew that we were looking at this type of change. Now, we didn't specifically discuss, that it was going to be Tony La Russa and, the structure was going to be what it is, but they both knew that we felt we needed additional help here, and then as the decision was finalized, we met, with each guy and discussed it, and we have their buy-in to do the very best they can to continue to do their jobs as well as they can do them, and to recognize that we've now got somebody else who certainly each of them respect. Gibby and I had a great conversation about Tony and someone he can learn from, and I think almost any manager can learn from Tony. His track record is pretty hard to question in any way. When he was the manager of the other team, you always were waiting to see what he was probably going to do to figure a way to beat you. So I know Gibby knows that, and so I think he'll really have a great opportunity to become a better manager. In Kevin's case, I think he knows and totally respects what Tony has meant to the game, and I think he looks looks forward to working with him as well. So, we talked with them leading up to this, and of course we talked to him before the announcement was publicly made.
Ken Kendrick with Brad Sussmat. A couple other questions. I'll let you go, and I appreciate your candor and your time as always. Can you rule him out as a manager?
I think probably so, but it's we said it and we mean it. He has the complete responsibility for the baseball department, and if he were to decide, which I think is very highly unlikely that he would, that putting on the uniform is something that he wanted to do, we wouldn't stand in his way. But I don't think that's at all in the cards, to be fair.
Do you have a conversation with him about that leading up to this, Ken, or is it just...
Of course. And I don't think there was much we didn't talk about over a period of time. We didn't come to him with the idea that we were reaching out to him to become our manager. That wasn't what our strategy was.
Sure, sure.
And he, without being asked, said, now, let's make sure here that I'm retired from the manager position, and that's not something I even would think about doing. So I respect that and expected that, and that's the plan.
You're 14-14 in the last 28 games. You've had a bunch of injuries to start the season out, but you've also kicked the ball around quite a bit and haven't played smart baseball, in my opinion. But are you in a position with Tony where eventually, it's usually in the baseball calendar, by June 1st, you understand if you have a team that's going to compete or not? It's not always the case, but that's typically how I've seen it through the years. You're not buyers, you're not sellers at this point, you're evaluators at this point. Is that the fair way to put all of this?
Yeah, that's very well said. And part of why we made the decision now was to give Tony as much time as we could to do that evaluation. And, you know, one of the key moments in our calendar as a baseball team is the amateur draft that's coming up in early June. And, you know, he's going to be spending some time. One of his first areas of focus is going to be meeting with our scouting director and our, you know, and our scouts and looking at some of the prospects that we think might be at the, you know, top of the list for us. We have a very significant year for us in the draft in that we have, through a combination of circumstance, five of the first 75 choices in the draft. So the opportunity to pick some really, and it is viewed by most to be a deep draft. So the opportunity to bring some, you know, fresh, young, talented players in is, you know, is right in front of us. And we wanted to have him be, you know, at least to a point involved in that. I mean, obviously, you know, we've been working on this through Ray Montgomery and his group for a long time, but getting Tony to, you know, be engaged with that process is something that's literally happening almost as we speak.
Ken, can you rule out the 2014 season, or do you see any sign of hope here?
Well,
I mean, any owner's going to say, any owner's going to say, of course we're still in it. But I mean,
I'm probably more candid than most. We've got a tough situation. You know, we don't have a solid rotation, and you know, I think we recognize that. And you know, circumstantially, we got to this place, and I won't go through the detail of how we got there, but we're where we are. And I think having that as a very obvious circumstance, there's not a lot that you can do in changing that dramatically at this point in the season, at least. So I think that's a tough, you know, that's tough to overcome, because to sustain winning, you know, you need solid pitching, you know, pretty much not every game, but most games.
Sure.
And I think, honestly, looking at the group we have, they're not the group we would have hoped to have in terms of, you know, some loss to injury and some underperformance. So I think that puts a real challenge in front of us.
So off that, and this will be my last question, it sounds like you're closer to maybe becoming a seller.
Well, I don't think that's fair to conclude. You said it earlier, and I think you were on. Tony is, you know, is here now to evaluate, and if he comes back in and says, well, you know, here's what I think, and it means not being a seller, then that's the direction we will go. And I don't think we know, nor does he know, what his conclusions will be.
I appreciate your time and your candor, as always. Thank you.
All right. Good to chat with you. Take care.
Stay well. There's Ken Kendrick with us, Managing General Partner, Arizona Diamondbacks, for a couple of minutes. On the other side, news and notes, Paula Bovin. Always good to catch up with Paula on Mondays. I want to talk to her about the Tony La Russa situation. If you missed any part of the Ken Kendrick interview, that will be up on our site today, sports360az.com. Very simple to say, hey, it's a great hire and all that. Appreciate the candor from the owner. Some really interesting comments, a couple of spots there that I want to bring back too on today's show. We talked to Paula not only about Tony La Russa, but Kevin Love and the Phoenix Suns, and some other things on my mind too as we continue on.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ. Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories, it's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmat.
News and Notes, Paula Bovin, my friend, AZ Central sports columnist. And right off the bat, I'm sure you're going to be glowing in your reviews of Tony La Russa being added to the Diamondbacks. Am I correct in that?
Hey, they're 2-0 since he walked into that building. So,
and 2-0 sure. Against the Dodgers, no less.
I know. It's funny the timing of all that occurred.
So I'm just wanting from your view, I just had Ken Kendrick on, and you know, they're 14-14 in their last 28 games. It sounds like he's waving the white flag on 2014, which he didn't say, but my sense is when he's talking about lack of pitching, are you waving the white flag on 2014?
You know, that's not my nature, Brad. So I can't say I'm waving the white flag, but you know, again, when you look in their division and look what kind of uphill battle they have, I think waving the white flag is the very realistic view, no question about it.
Do you anticipate Gibby and Kevin finishing their seasons with the Diamondbacks?
I do. I do. I sense that, you know, and especially with what you're saying about Kendrick, I mean, I think he almost feels now that he has a little time to evaluate what's going on or allow La Russa to do so, because I don't think that they would bring La Russa in and then La Russa would make any kind of decisions here in the next couple weeks. And I mean, the reality is they are playing better. The reality is they suffered some pretty crippling injuries. And I think, I mean, the sense I got, and it was a very weird moment being in that press box the other day and seeing La Russa and Kevin Towers standing next to each other, because Towers clearly looked like a guy who didn't want to be standing there doing the interview. And he's such an accommodating guy. But it's just, you know, it's got the Grim Reaper standing right next to you. So, but the one thing that struck me, I guess the point I was getting at, is Towers talked about their long relationship and that he knows probably La Russa as well as anyone as far as managers he's had relationships with and things like that. So I just don't think, because of that history, that La Russa is going to make any snap decisions. That was my feel out of that.
I kind of look at it like when the draft is next month and you don't want to blow up all your scouts.
Right.
And if you pull the plug on Kevin before the draft or at draft time, you're going to pull the plug on your baseball people. To me, it seems like July 1st now. If I'm advancing the calendar, usually I think in baseball, Paula, you get to Memorial Day and you know if your team's any good or not any good.
Right.
I think that this team, the fact they went after Tanaka and they didn't get Tanaka and then they had the injury to Corbin, we can go recite all of that. I didn't feel like they made the smartest moves in free agency with their pitching.
Right.
And that the Giants did. But nonetheless, I think now in Kevin's case, it's if this thing plays at 500, it's not like the division is running away. I'm not ruling them out. There is
right.
the other wild card.
Sure.
But I can't see them pulling the plug on Kevin. You think he's going to make it through the season. I think eventually he's going to walk away from this. I don't know how they're going to disguise it or
right.
dress it up. But I think eventually it's just going to be, you know what, it's, you know, let's turn it over to Tony.
Well, and I think it'll certainly be presented that way too. You know what I mean? I don't
sure.
know necessarily if Towers would want to walk away from that situation or this job unless he feels like, you know, it's no fun having somebody, you know, breathing on the back of your neck and kind of shadowing you all the time, which is what happens when you bring in a guy like La Russa, whether it's intended to be that way, that's how you feel. So it probably is not an ideal situation, you're right. But, you know, I think Towers is also probably cares about his legacy a little bit, and he had a fantastic, I think, reputation up until recently with the Diamondbacks. He made some mistakes in his past, but he always made some great moves that people loved working with him, blah blah blah, and
mm-hmm.
I think he would hate to think this is, you know, this is how sour things are going to be. So I just think on all accounts everybody's going to be around through the course of the season, and then, you know, we'll have to see what happens based on, I think, what happens with the Diamondbacks here.
Paula Bovin with us, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. I asked Ken about if they are now St. Louis West, and he didn't take too well to that. But when you have Dave Duncan and you have Dave McKay, and I think Dave McKay is somebody you have to look at now as Gibby's replacement, if, in fact, they were to go down that path. He's just a natural progression would tell me that.
Sure.
Do you see any, and not that there's anything wrong with trying to mimic a franchise that's had such great success as the Cardinals, but it's only natural if you look at who's now part of this organization to go down that path. And I don't regret the Diamondbacks for doing this, by the way. I mean, if they were to even take the stance of, yeah, we can learn from what St. Louis has done. Why not?
Of course. I mean, you know, baseball, I think most professional sports are about modeling, you know, trying to follow success of what others do. That's, you learn. Everybody learns sort of from the process and everything else. So I have no issue with that. You know, I'm just curious if, just where La Russa is going to go with this, how quick he might make decisions, and how much did the Diamondbacks, like Kendrick and Derek Hall, why they felt like they couldn't make the decisions about Gibson and about Towers on their own? Is it because there's too close of a connection, you know? Do they feel too close to the situation? It seemed like all that group, for the most part, had a pretty good relationship. You know, was their view not objective enough? I found it interesting that they brought La Russa in, and I understand why, but you don't see that happen all the time.
Well, and I think you also have to look at what other shoes could drop. I'll give you an example. I think Josh Burns is about ready to get his ticket punched in San Diego.
Right.
That's just what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing over there.
Sure.
And Kevin is very popular in San Diego, and I'm just just I think sometimes you make moves, and whether a person quits and how that is handled in compensation, and if a person is fired and how that is handled in compensation.
Right.
And all sorts of things that for the average fan, it's like, look, I just want to win games and I don't care about how we get there. But I think you got to look at a lot of the business side of all this too. That's what I'm taking from this.
No question about it. I mean, you know, ultimately the business side is what determines most big decisions in Major League Baseball, no question.
Kevin Love, so it comes out over the weekend that the Timberwolves are probably not going to get Kevin Love to re-sign there, which is not breaking news.
Right.
And I think you and I talked about him this last year. That's who I've wanted. I don't want Pau Gasol. If you want to bring Pau Gasol here, then you're not getting the best.
Right.
You're not getting a younger 20-10 guy in Kevin Love. The draft lottery is tomorrow night. If you're the Suns and you have all these picks, would you be willing to mortgage these picks for the most part to go get Kevin Love here?
I mean, I kind of feel like they've sort of been building for this type of a situation. You know, I've heard some critics of Kevin Love, but my gosh, he's 25. He's only 25.
Right.
He's a really talented power forward. And you look at all the other pieces on this team, and you know, if they make that kind of a deal and it involves a lot of draft picks, maybe they wouldn't have to change much of what they have on the court. And this is, to me at least, this is the kind of thing I could see McDonough doing, because to a certain extent when he was in Boston, I think this kind of thing happened as well. So
the Garnett deal.
I'm in the Kevin Love pro camp for sure.
You'd love having Kevin Love here.
Yeah.
It's fine. But see, he's in Minnesota.
Right.
So if he goes to Chicago, Joakim Noah is there,
right,
who could take a lot of the pressure off of Kevin Love.
Right.
Right? And Noah, in my opinion, is a star.
Sure.
Not a superstar, but he's a star in this league. If you look at the Suns and you look at their front line, and if you're Kevin Love saying, look, I can go to Chicago and I can go get my 20 points a game because Noah's going to do all the dirty work. You look over here at the Suns, you're saying, well, look, P.J. Tucker's going to do all the dirty work.
Right.
You know, so I don't know how you can sell this to Kevin Love that Phoenix is a better spot. Everything that's being written and reported today is Phoenix is the mystery team. They don't really know what Love feels like. Well, let me tell you something. The Suns, do they really have enough to entice Kevin Love to come here? That's my thing. I don't know if they do. I don't think they do.
No, yet. I mean, I think it's a great, great point. And especially when we've heard, you know, Lakers and Knicks were at the top of his list. And then you see the Warriors being mentioned and, you know, you look at the talent on that team. It's a hard thing to compete. The only thing I'll say is I think they have a coach that is very attractive. I think the word gets out on coaches. And I think Hornacek has really established a reputation quickly in a year. And at some point, you got to like the guy you play for. You know, so I think that might help them a little bit and things like that, and that they're young and a lot of things, good things can happen more than just a year or two in the future. But you're right. I mean, I'm sure Kevin Love is probably looking for the here and now and, you know, I want to win a title tomorrow kind of deal. And I don't know if that's something you can sell in Phoenix right now.
Well, you could sell it in Houston. I mean,
sure.
Look, you've got Dwight Howard and you got James Harden over here. You can sell it in Golden State with Curry and Beard, the rest of that team, Thompson. There's a reason why Tom Izzo, Billy Donovan both said, no, we're not taking the Timberwolves job because Kevin Love's not going to be here.
Right.
So that's on my mind, too. Anything else that's got your eye?
Let me see, Brad. I was
ASU baseball closes out Packard. I know that's mystical and whimsical. And the Cardinals open mini camp, which is mini camp. And of course, they're going to say, "Yeah, we're here to win." They're going to say all the normal stuff.
Well, you know, it's funny to me how much people are so counting down the days till football. You know, I was talking to someone just yesterday about. I was saying, lamenting. I thought it was too bad that AC softball sort of had to end the way it did, and Dallas's career, and this person was all about, oh, but what about the NFL and when does training camps open? And I had to go look up, you know, try to find the date of when the Cardinals start up. I think the draft, for as annoying and long and everything else that it was getting there, I think the city's quickly ready for the Cardinals and football to start again.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
That's what I'm feeling.
I'm into the World Cup. So I'm into the game that there's more people in the world with soccer balls and basketball. It's Robert Sarver line, but it's true. Soccer is worldwide and basketball is worldwide. Football is something here in the States. I can wait a few months. I really don't need training camp. I don't need Jonathan Cooper grabbing his body in a worthless, meaningless game. That doesn't matter. Get back to me in September. So.
Well, I don't know if your opinion is shared by others.
I'm sure it's not, which is good.
Right.
That's fine. I'll let you go off that. Stay
All
well.
All right, Brad.
There's Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. It's always good to get Paula's view of things. I see Tiger Woods up on my screen, so he's actually talking about when he is going to come back from his injuries and if he's going to play this year. So I'm interested to hear what comes out of that. And there's a couple NFL things on the other side I want to get to. And some hockey, too. And Lou Holtz is retiring. Is this good or bad? And Eric was in Vegas the last few days. Is this good or bad for his bachelor party? That's all next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
It's a good Monday. Man, there's a lot going on. The La Russa story, though, just dominating on my Twitter feed. At Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. You also can follow us on Sports360 on Twitter. At Sports360AZ. At Sports360AZ. Lou Holtz retired from ESPN today. Eric, you're a big college football guy. So having Lou Holtz, and you've been big on game day through the years, but are you big on Lou Holtz?
No. But I appreciate him. I respect him. I'm just not a huge...
Have you ever booked Lou Holtz for this show?
No, I have in the past, just not for you. Sorry.
Yeah, but
I'll work on that.
Why is that? No, that's fine. Trust me. I'm just wondering if you had an issue with him or not, because he hasn't shown up on the radar in the last couple of years we've been together.
No, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where you can sort of see ESPN morphing out of the older generation. Like,
sure.
Like Digger Phelps, bye. Lou Holtz, bye. You know, we're going to take Brent Musburger and we're going to take you out of the primetime game, but we're still going to feature you, but you're going to be on the SEC network and we're going to have someone else a little bit different. You can see the
different, i.e. younger.
You can just see the moving pieces at ESPN.
We don't want to have 70 and 80 year olds analyzing games, what you're saying.
They're trying to skew younger.
But like Beano Cook. So the late Beano Cook, mm-hmm. You know, they took Beano and kind of put him out to pasture. So Lou Holtz leaves. Is there a coach out there that I'd want to see paired up on that show? Because that's the Thursday night show, really. And then the game day thing, he just felt like he was out of place. You know, Corso's reinvented himself.
Of course.
So, and he's as relevant as ever.
And Corso has more broad appeal because they have him do so much goofy stuff on college game day that, like, every college kid that's a college football fan knows who Lee Corso is. You would think they would know who Lou Holtz is, but he's not as visible.
Well, Lou Holtz was just there for like the Subway alumni of Notre Dame. I mean, that was the only reason. Nobody watches Lou Holtz because of Arkansas.
And he wasn't a part of College Game Day. He was actually a part of College Football Final, the post game show. So,
but at some
different
point,
audience,
different. But it was following games. He was never on Game Day at all through all of his years.
I don't think so.
Not ever.
I don't think so.
I thought he showed up there at the start.
I mean, maybe occasionally, but
yeah.
Not in the past 10 years.
How was your bachelor party?
It was great.
Yeah? Vegas?
Vegas, yeah.
Did you drive or fly?
I told my parents, you know, getting 11 hours sleep is great.
Yeah.
Not when it's spread out over 3 nights.
I don't talk to my parents about Vegas and my
bachelor
party.
Well, my mom asked really broad questions.
Yeah.
And I gave her very broad answers.
That's a smart move. So did you do like the Waffle House at 4 a.m. and not know where you were?
No. At 4 a.m. we had breakfast at the Ellis Island Casino.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've never heard of it because we had never heard of it. But when you're looking for food at 4 a.m, you know, beggars can't be choosers in Vegas. So.
Well, there's a lot of beggars in Vegas.
There are.
They can choose.
But it was all in all, it was a good weekend. So
yeah.
Nothing too crazy happened.
Your voice sounded like Charles Barkley after, I don't know, the Final Four or some big event.
January 1st.
NBA. Yeah. I've always said having Charles on the day after the Super Bowl is like the ideal day. Because he has no idea where he is or how he's going to sound. He doesn't care either.
Unfiltered.
Right, right.
Like he ever needs to be filtered.
Well, but are you being filtered today? Are you still here? Are there things you're holding back from your weekend?
No. No one got arrested. You know,
did you use dollar bills?
Things that happen at bachelor parties happen at bachelor parties.
Did you?
No one got lost. There were, you know, no one got killed. Nothing.
Did you find the disposable ATM?
It wasn't the Hangover 5.
You didn't have, like, the tattoo on...
No tattoos.
Yeah.
No tattoos.
Back
Vegas
of your head
is, Vegas is fun for 48 hours, and then by the third day, it's like...
get me out of here.
It's like, when are we going home?
Get me out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The drive home yesterday afternoon was 4.5, and it felt like 14.5.
Yeah. It looks like you've had a good time.
Yeah. It was good.
Yeah. So, all right. We'll leave it at that.
I'm getting married 2 months from today, so let that settle in for a
moment. Yeah. I'll talk you out of it, maybe. So a couple things of note here that happened over the weekend, too. So the Cardinals let go of Ryan Williams, and they did so, you know, as happens in the NFL. It's just he's released, and we'll make sure that nobody really sees it, and we'll just get it out there. And, of course, he signs with the Dallas Cowboys. Of course he signs with the Cowboys. DeMarco Murray's the starter down there. So all the fantasy football people that don't care about a team, they just care about fantasy football, there's your handcuff guy down there. But I think it is interesting that Ryan Williams was here and now gone and goes down to Dallas. That organization is a lightning rod, always trying to catch something other than a playoff berth. And so they go with a guy that the Cardinals didn't want, didn't need anymore. Brandon Marshall signs a big deal today with the Bears. Why am I bringing this up? Because, of course, he went on The View to sign the contract. Why not? Why not go on The View to sign a contract? Because anybody that signs a big deal needs to go on The View with a bunch of women with estrogen flying all over the place to say, I have $30 million in my pocket. Are any of you girls free for lunch? Brandon Marshall pulling a big league move there. 3 years, $30 million, but not with a press conference, not with a bunch of guys that are in their 50s and 60s with notebooks that are driving Pintos, that are so frustrated with their deal, their outlets that they're with. No, he's going to go on The View where they're all millionaire girls. Got that done. And then there's Wes Welker. So Wes Welker, last time we talked about Wes Welker was last week where the Kentucky Derby folks were after him saying, look, you have to repay the $14,000 that we overpaid your group. And good luck on that. So the Derby over the weekend, because, of course, the Kentucky Derby was getting hammered by people, and we can't have anything going on with our image. They said, well, you know, you don't have to repay the $14,000. Chances are pretty good there's going to be something involving Wes Welker behind the scenes at some charity function, some autograph football, something along the lines of an appearance, something that will make this story quickly go away, because neither one wants to get their image tarnished. That caught my eye over the weekend as well. And then there's Johnny Manziel. Not me sitting behind the microphone saying, I can't believe that the Browns are making Johnny Manziel off limits when they signed him and it's a big deal and we should be allowed into rookie mini camp. Yeah, you should be allowed into rookie mini camp, but really, what are you going to see? Johnny Manziel now has more Twitter followers. That's, of course, what I'm interested in. He passed Richard Sherman over the weekend. 942,000 Twitter followers, the 11th most followed active NFL player on Twitter. Richard Sherman, you can dress down Aaron Andrews on the air and go crazy and have everybody wanting a piece of you, but you're not as popular as Johnny Manziel. And in the uniforms, the jersey sales since the draft, it's Michael Sam, Johnny Manziel. Michael Sam, Johnny Manziel. Has nothing at all to do with football talent and ability in Michael Sam's case. Has everything to do with supporting what he's all about. In Johnny Manziel's case, it's a bunch of bandwagon jumpers. They want to get in early and say, hey, I want to do the show me the money as I'm walking on stage like Johnny. He's everything that I want. Hadn't taken a snap yet. But people got to find their fame somehow. I'm cool now because I have a Johnny Manziel jersey. I can't have a jersey that has my name on the back of it. I have to have some guy in Cleveland's name on the back of it. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports, going to be part of the Arizona Republic, partner with them. White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, @BradSusmat.